Brahmachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivardhari. Yashodanandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yashodanandana Vraja Janna Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa, Parivraja Pacharya, Ashto Tarasata Shishi Madhis, Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premsika Hosi Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Krishna, Gopa Gopinath, Chamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Mathura Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Mayapur Dham ki jai, Shri Purushottama Kshetra Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Yamuna Mai ki jai, Tusi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Nguranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today, we're studying 8th canto, chapter 8, text 21. Now, you'll have to excuse me because I don't give so many classes. This is the third class I've given this year. Last one was in St. Louis, and there was only two devotees there, Bhakta Mike and Bhakta Jesse, and I put Dr. Jesse to sleep. He was snoring. So I hope, isn't there a weapon that Krishna had that he put his enemies to sleep? Like Lord Shiva, wasn't there a battle like that? Somehow or other, I think I have part of that potency. But anyway, I'll try not to put you to sleep. The other class was in Paris earlier in March, so there was not that many devotees there. Not as many as here. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 8, Churning of the Milk Ocean, Text 21. Dharma kvachit tatra na bhutta sauridam. Jagah kvachit tatra na muktikaranam. Viryam na pumsosti ajavega nishkritam. Nahati tviti yoguna sangha varjinata. Dharmak kvachit tatra na bhutta sauridam. Jagat kvachit tatra na muktikaranam. Viryam na pumsosti ajaviganishkritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nacha nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Viryam napum tosti ajaviganish kritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Viryam napum sostya javega niskritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Viryam napunstostya javegaknaskritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Viryam napum sostya javega niskritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharmakva cittatra nabutta sauridam. Jagakva cittatra namuktikaranam. Viryam napum sostya javega niskritam. Nahi dvitiyo guna sangavarjita. Dharma, religion, kvachit, one may have full knowledge of, tatra, therein, na, not, bhuta sauridam, friendship with other living entities, tyaga, renunciation, kvachit, one may possess, tatra, therein, na, not, muktikaranam, the cause of liberation, viryam, power, na, not, pumsa, of any person, asti, there may be, ajavega niskritam, no release from the power of time. Na, nor, he, indeed. Dvitiya, the second one. Guna sangavarjita, completely freed from the contamination of the modes of nature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Someone may possess full knowledge of religion, but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of the material modes of nature. So repeat after me, please. Someone may possess full knowledge of religion, but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of the material modes of nature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The statement "Dharma kvachit tatra nabhuta sauridam" is very important in this verse. We actually see that there are many Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, and religionists of other cults who adhere to the religious principles very nicely, but are not equal to all living entities. Indeed, although they profess to be very religious, they kill poor animals. Such religion has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 says, Dharmak svanushtitah pumsa vishvakshena katasuyaha notpadayadyati ratim shrama eva ikevalam. One may be very expert in following the religious principles of his own sect, but if he has no tendency to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his observance of the religious principles is simply a waste of time. One must develop a sense of loving Vasudeva. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. The sign of a devotee is that he is a friend to everyone, suridam sarva bhutanam. A devotee will never allow a poor animal to be killed in the name of religion. This is the difference between a superficially religious person and a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find that there have been many great heroes in history, but they could not escape from the cruel hands of death. Even the greatest hero cannot escape from the ruling power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when Krishna comes as death. That is described by Krishna himself, Mrityu Sarva Harascham. The Lord appearing as death takes away a hero's so-called power. Even Hiranyakashipu could not be saved when Nrisingadev appeared before him as death. One's material strength is nothing before the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma kvachit tatra nabhuta sauridam jagat kvachit tatra namuktikaranam viryam napunsostyajya vega nishkritam nahi dvitiyo guna sanga varjitaha. Someone may possess full knowledge of religion, but still not be kind to all living entities. In someone, whether human or demigod, there may be renunciation, but that is not the cause of liberation. Someone may possess great power and yet be unable to check the power of eternal time. Someone else may have renounced attachment to the material world, yet he cannot compare to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, no one is completely freed from the influence of the material modes of nature. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ancha Kalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindubhya Eva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. There's a nice verse that I kind of use as my guiding principle in behaving towards others, whether they be devotees or non-devotees. And it's it was spoken by Swayambhuva Manu to his grandson, Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was very upset, angry with the Yakshas when they killed his brother. And he started killing the Yakshas. He was very powerful. And he was going to wipe out the whole race of Yakshas. And Swayambhuva Manu said, he came to him and said, "This is not good. Titikshaya karunaya maitya chakila jantusu savar samadvena chasarvatma Bhagavan samprasidati." And this very nice verse says, "The Supreme Lord is very pleased with his devotee when he sees his devotee greet others with friendship, when he greets others with tolerance, friendship, and equality." So this is a very nice. And it kind of ties in with this because we can see that in the world there are different many sects, like Prabhupada mentions here, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, and all kinds of religionists, but we can judge their advancement in spiritual life according to how they greet other people. And of course, we know that certain Islamic extremists are not at all tolerant towards others, or friendly, or treat them equally. You know, they have a tendency to chop other people's heads off. You know. So, as devotees, this should be our guiding principle: is to be tolerant of others. They may have different points of view. To be friendly also, to see that everybody is an expansion of Krishna, your spirit soul, even though they may be in different bodies. And to treat them with equality, because basically we're all on the same plane. We're all in the same earth together, you might say. And there's really not much difference between one living entity and the other on the same plane. I can see I'm already putting people to sleep. So, I don't know, it must be the quality of my voice, I guess. There's another nice verse. I understand Radhanath Swami likes to quote a lot. It's Vidyavinaya Sampani Gavi Hastini. How's that go? Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. So this means someone who is a Pandita, he sees everybody as on an equal plane, with equal vision, whether it be a gentle and learned Brahmana, an elephant, a a cow, a dog, or a dog eater. So we have to see that we're all spirit souls, and that the Supreme Personality of God in this form is Paramatma, is accompanying every one of us. And therefore, every body is a temple of the Lord, because within the heart of that living entity is the Supreme Soul and the individual soul. So this is the real meaning of religion. Religion, the actual word comes from religio, from Latin, means to reconnect with the source of our existence, our creator, our maintainer. There's another nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, if you don't mind my quoting it. It's, I like to meditate on this verse a lot because you can use it as a prayer. Krishna is describing himself in the 9th chapter, text 18. Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Surit Prabhava Pralayastanam Nidanam Bijam Avyayam. Krishna says, I am the goal. Gatir Bharta, I am the sustainer. I am the master. I am the dearmost friend. So each one of these descriptions of Krishna, whether we take them as goal, we could say, well, Krishna, you are my goal. Krishna, you are my maintainer. Krishna, you are my master. Krishna, you are my dear friend. And so on. So these are ways in which we can reconnect with Krishna. There's so many nice verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, that they're all meant to purify our consciousness. And this is the whole purpose of the movement that Srila Prabhupada has started, is to purify the consciousness of the whole world. And in this age of Kali, the recommended process, as described in the Brihannaradiya Purana, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Iti Sodasaka Nam Nam Kali Kalmasanasanam, Natak Paratara Upaya Sarva Vede Shudrishate. If one searches through all the Vedic literatures, one will not find a better process than that contained within these 16 words, the Hare Krishna mantra. So this whole purpose of reading Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, performing sadhana, is to purify our consciousness. And the biggest, the greatest, the most powerful process is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's three levels of chanting. There's the offensive stage where one chants, but is committing all kinds of mistakes and offenses. The second stage is the clearing stage, by which we are trying to start to clear our consciousness, to avoid the 10 offenses against the holy name, the 64 offenses against deity worship, and gradually purify our heart from the anarthas, the unwanted things that we have in our heart, the habits, the desires, material desires, lusty desires, greedy desires, desires for enjoying things, having experiences other apart from Krishna, you know, for example, climb a mountain or go for a hike or ride a roller coaster. You know, these are thrills. We're looking for thrills. But the real thrill is in Krishna consciousness, and the real thrill is in chanting the holy name. So we should come. Jai Damodar, I mean, Shankar Pandit, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Nice to see you again. So the whole process of sadhana, of studying the scriptures, is come to the stage of Shudanam, chanting the pure holy name. There's a nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It says, Kabe habe bolo se dinama Aparada guchi shudaname ruchi Kripa bale habe ridoye sanchar. So is Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, when, oh when, will I be able to give up these aparadas or offenses and get a taste for the holy name, the pure holy name, Shudanam. So when we chant, we should try to come up to this level of Shudanam, not just simply stay on the offensive platform or the clearing platform, but because the real taste in Krishna consciousness, the real ruchi, is on the Vasudeva stage, Shudanam stage. And so there's, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to bring this up because I don't want to appear to be offensive or criticizing devotees, because that's not my intention. But I noticed, I've been traveling a lot. I've had a chance to travel and visit lots of temples, and it seems like many places the Maha Mantra gets twisted around a little bit, and it's instead of chanting Rama, they chant Ramo. And I was a little bit curious. I have access to a Sanskrit dictionary online, and I made a search for this Ramo, which is R-A-M-O, and nothing came up. And I asked my spiritual master about this, and that you hear some devotees chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, 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 Hare Hare. And he said, well, this is coming from Bengal. This is the style of chanting from Bengal, but we don't follow Bengalis. He said, we follow Prabhupada. And to my knowledge, and I think I've heard all of his tapes, and Prabhupada chants very simply and purely. You know, he's definitely on the Shudanam platform. So it seems, and not just to me, because I've heard other postings, articles on Dandavats, for example, where this has been brought up, and Prabhupada was not very pleased with the Bengali style of chanting. If you listen to Prabhupada, he's chanting very purely the holy names. And there's a little quotation I'd like to share with you, if you will allow. It was very nice. It's come from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And I'm drawing this here from Srinamamrita, the nectar of the holy name. it's entitled Progressive Development of the Chanting of the Holy Name. Prabhupada writes, a bona fide spiritual master chants the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And the transcendental sound vibration enters into the ear of the disciple. If a disciple follows in the footsteps of his spiritual master and chants the holy name with similar respects, he actually comes to worship the transcendental name. So this is what we need to be doing. Krishna is appearing in this age as his name. And we need to worship Krishna in his transcendental name by following in the footsteps of those who are purified and chanting on the Shuddha platform, Shuddha Nam platform. And here's the result. When the transcendental name is worshipped by the devotee, the name himself spreads his glories within the heart of a devotee. When a devotee is perfectly qualified in chanting the transcendental vibration of the holy name, when a devotee is perfectly qualified in chanting the transcendental vibration of the holy name, he is quite fit to become a spiritual master and to deliver all the people of the world. The chanting of the holy name is so powerful that it gradually establishes its supremacy above everything in the world. The devotee who chants it becomes transcendentally situated in ecstasy and sometimes laughs, cries, dances in ecstasy from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, the chanting is glorified every morning. We chant Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, the Shikshastaka prayers. Trinarapi Sunichana, Tarori Vasa Hishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. And this is the mood of surrender and worship of the holy name. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much for those of you who remained awake, many of you. And if there's any questions or comments, reflections, yes, Prabhu, Subhat Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Turn it down. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Prema Bhakti Prabhu. Bring it down a little bit. Down. Hare Krishna. I wanted to ask you a question. When that beautiful verse that you mentioned of the instructions to Dhruva Maharaj, of treating others with tolerance, with friendship and with equality. And as a preacher, sometimes you have to make distinctions. You have to use some kind of discrimination in terms of how to properly help people and respect. Sometimes you have to step out or avoid. How, in your experience, how do you, these seemingly things, you're making a distinction, then you're not treating equally. How do you put those two together, you know?
Well, I do it by looking beyond the body and the mind, that there's a spirit soul in there. And this spirit soul is being guided, directed by the super soul, who's directing everybody's wandering in the material world. You know, chapter 1861. So, yes, we have to preach on the second level, Madhya Madhikari platform. And we have to make distinctions between those who are innocent. We make distinctions between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, the innocent, and those who are adverse or averse to those that have demoniac mentality. We have to approach the innocent and avoid those who are against, you know, but still we can see that there's this within this living entity, this person. The basic of their existence. The basis of their existence is their eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna. They just happen to be under the modes of nature. And as a devotee, we try to help everybody. You know, we're not inimical towards anybody. That's the point I was trying to make, and I think the point that Swayambhuva Manu was making, as Dhruva Maharaj was in the process of killing all the yakshas for killing his brother. Did that answer your question, Prabhu?
I was specifically thinking of, you know, sometimes you see there is innocent people that are being misled by people that are not innocent, that people that are sort of, you know, they have a demoniac mentality. And to how far you should go in terms of, you know, extending yourself towards others, you know, when do you make the distinction, okay, this much, you know, if I continue, it may affect me, and it may affect, you know, the person in a negative way. How do you, is that clear, the question?
Well, I would say I have two answers to that. One, it depends on your own potency, or the potency of the preacher, and different people have different potencies. They have different levels of, or abilities, you know, some more than others. And the other thing is that we should take guidance from the super soul who's given us intelligence. Be in the mood of a servitor of the super soul, acting as an instrument. And then if we see that we're going too far, or maybe not far enough, we have to depend on the super soul. And from him, seated in the heart, is coming our, from him is coming our ability to preach. You know, personally, I have no ability, you know, very little. Others, I see, have much more than me. So it might be a better question to ask them how far to go, because I'm not, for example, Sankar Pandit right here, who is a regular, constant book distributor and out there meeting the people all the time. How would you answer that, Sankar Pandit Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Well, it's a very interesting discussion. And Prema Bhakti Prabhu, as you correctly pointed out, each devotee has different abilities. And those abilities are directly being inspired or given by the Supreme Lord Himself. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pavartan. That one cannot preach the Krishna consciousness movement or attract others to Krishna consciousness unless one is empowered by Krishna. So Krishna is the possessor of all potencies. Parasya Shaktir Vivavadaya Sruyate. So Srila Prabhupada said Krishna has one particular Shakti called Bhakti Shakti. And it is this particular Shakti that empowers the devotee to attract others to Krishna consciousness. Now, how far should we extend ourselves to another person? That depends on the individual circumstance and the person involved. And of course, if one is very, very expert, very pure, then naturally one will try to extend oneself fully. For example, Srila Prabhupada came to America alone without any other Vaishnava Sangha, and his dependency on Krishna, his spiritual master, our Vaishnava Guru Parampara, caused him to extend himself to every single person that he met. Srila Prabhupada gave himself fully. Why? Because there is no ulterior motive. Now, on the platform of preaching, certainly there is discrimination. And this is the point that you're making, Subal Prabhu, and questioning. That is the stage of the Madhyama Adhikari. The Madhyama Adhikari means the Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform of devotional service. We're taught by Srila Prabhupada that there are three classifications of Vaishnavas. The topmost Vaishnava, who is the Mahabhagavata. Then there's the Madhyama Adhikari, situated in the intermediate stage. And then there's the Kanishtha Adhikari, the neophyte. And each classification of Vaishnavas are categorized differently according to their development of consciousness. For example, the Kanishtha Adhikari, it is described, Acharyam eva hadaye, pujam ya shadayehate, that the neophyte devotee simply sees God in the temple and therefore is engaging in service to the deity with great faith. So that is the extent of that Krishna consciousness of the neophyte devotee. Here is God in the temple, let me worship the form of the Lord very nicely. However, natad bhakteshu chanyeshu, such neophyte devotee doesn't treat the other devotees very well, nor the people in general in a nice way. That's the neophyte. So Srila Prabhupada would say we should not remain on the neophyte condition, but we should try to come on to the second stage, which is a stage of discrimination. Ishwaretad adineshu, etc., which means that yes, one sees the form of the Lord, one offers one's love to Krishna. One sees the Vaishnavas, one makes friendship with them. One sees the innocent, one extends oneself as much as possible according to the individual circumstances to bring that person to Krishna consciousness. And yes, for those who are dvisatsu, those who are envious or demoniac, then despite trying to give some mercy, such persons are against it, then you avoid the association. But how far should you extend yourself? Again, it depends on the individual circumstance. And as Prema Bhakti Prabhu was correctly pointing out, it also depends upon the personal potency and compassion of a particular devotee. So it is reciprocal. If someone is, you can see they're making incremental steps. They're interested in chanting. They're interested in following the regulative principles, etc. By all means, extend yourself as much as you can. And we can't become attached to the results. Oh, I've been preaching to this person for 6 months. They're only chanting one round a day, or they're not vegetarian. The results aren't up to us. We just do our duty as a preacher. Leave the rest to Krishna in the heart. So many persons had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada, and many didn't take up the process of devotional service. Prabhupada didn't become discouraged, because he knew that whatever progress is made, it is to that individual living entity's eternal benefit. Therefore, Krishna says, Svapam apasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. This is the all-auspicious nature of devotional service. That if someone chants a holy name once, if they take prasadam once, they see the deity form of the Lord once, render some seemingly insignificant service to a devotee, that is to their eternal benefit. If they make progress in their lives only to 1%, next life they're starting from 2%. So we may not always be able to see the external, superficial results, but devotional service is eternally auspicious. And all of the activities of bhakti are eternal, and it will eternally benefit anyone and everyone, even the demonic. Sometimes the demoniac, they'll even chide the devotees, or they'll imitate the chanting, or say so many things. For example, Srila Prabhupada said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, sometimes when he was given like a newspaper clipping of someone that wrote something against the preaching of Krishna consciousness, and sometimes the article was very, very unfavorable, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would say, but look how many times they mentioned the name Krishna. That person is eternally blessed. So we may not always be able to see the external results, but we extend ourselves as much as possible according to the individual circumstances. A preacher should always take desha, kala, and patra, time, place, circumstance, always into consideration. I don't know if that helps, but thank you. Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you for inviting me to make a comment.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna.
Shankar Pandey, he's always such an eloquent speaker, right to the point. So, one point I wanted to make out here, well, just speaking before, I was talking about the chanting of the holy name, is I get most of my association on the internet. Sometimes I listen to classes that are here on YouTube, or I like to visit Vaisheshika's classes online, Vaisheshika. Anyway, he gives many classes that are very nicely done. But one point he said about, to me, has a lot of meaning, is in our chanting, that we should follow the three P's. And this would apply to japa or to kirtan, I suppose. The three P's are posture, pronunciation, and prayer. Because the Hare Krishna mantra is a prayer. It's a prayer. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. In another place, Prabhupada says, he shortens that up. He says, please accept me. Three words, please accept me. And another place I've heard some devotees, when they explain what the Hare Krishna mantra means, they just say, please help me. It's a prayer, please help me. Very simple. And I think any of these are very good explanations for Hare Krishna mantra. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraja Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Jagatguru Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai.